Denny, good morning.
Morning, gents.
And joining us, obviously, a very sad day, and we've had a lot of tributes this morning because rugby league has lost a legend in the great John Sattler.
Yeah, and obviously it was very upsetting news yesterday afternoon. And I'd been at Rabbitohs that morning, and the players were all in obviously very good spirits at that point. And, you know, they were talking about a big game they've got coming up, and now there's going to be even more more meaning behind this game for those players, I'd imagine, because Sattler was such a legend of that club. And I spoke to people yesterday like Ron Coote, who obviously was very upset about the news, and he talked to me about the contrast between the man, his toughness and also his warmth. And Sam Burgess said the same thing, and there was a very famous photo of Sam and John after Sam played with his broken cheekbone and was so great in the 2014 grand final as player of the match. And there's a real sadness, but also a respect and a desire to honour the Sattler name coming out of Souths for this week's game. And yeah, you've got a feel for the family. I didn't see John play, but obviously he got to know Scott a little bit, you know, his career, and admired what he did. And my feelings and thoughts are with that family, with the Sattler family. And I think I was on 100% footy last night. I think Gus said that John Sattler got sent off 15 times. How would he have gone today in the game? Today, yeah. we wouldn't have seen him 50. Playing much. Yeah. Mm. obviously that era and the toughness. And, you know, I was thinking this morning about, you know, I was too young to witness his heroics in that grand final. But the toughest things, or the most, you know, amazing things I've seen in on the field and in grand finals at the same time were probably, I think Cooper Cronk's effort to take that broken shoulder into a grand final and show such mental strength to be able to put his body on the line, knowing he was going into a game with that. And then also, I think, obviously, Sam Burgess. And so that had a huge impact on me and the way he played and the toughness he showed. And then you hear stories about John Sattler and what he did in that game, and his jaw falling off afterwards almost, you know what I mean? Like, he was trying to talk to the media, and it's just incredible what he did. And every dealing I had with him, he was a thorough gentleman.
Denny, I feel like rugby league probably does it better than any other sport in this country. They respect their past and their history, and doesn't matter what generation you're a part of, but you're always made to, you know, once at a club, you know, lifetime at a club. And I feel like this is another example. I'd like to hope that, you know, sports like cricket particularly understand and realise just the importance of, you know, the people that come before you that get the sport to where it is. And it seems to me, just listen to Loz this morning talk about John Sattler, it's as much about what he did off the field as it was on the field.
Yeah, Pop, I think it's a more recent thing. I think the game's grown up in that regard in a lot of ways. I think that maybe it didn't respect its past as well as it does now. I'm sure it always has, but yeah, okay. I feel like now it's even more so. I'd be interested to hear what Loz has to say about that, but that's the feeling I get, is that there's a growing acknowledgement of the history. And I think that I actually look at cricket, and I think in your sport, Pup, I think that there is a great bowing and a tipping of the hat to former greats. And not peeing in your pocket, but you probably, you know, as you get older, you'll be even more respected for the things you did and the way you led Australia. And you know, I think the cricket does do a pretty good job. I don't know if you don't feel that necessarily, but from looking from the outside, I feel like it does.
I just think the acknowledgement consistently of, you know, where your sport sits a lot of the time isn't because of the people that are involved right here, right now. You know, and I always used to think that about cricket. It's the people that played 10, 20, 50 years before my time that actually got paid no money, had to go to work and then turn up and play and only train a couple of days, that what they did for Australian cricket got Australian cricket to where it was, and we're very lucky and blessed to be a part of that now. And I don't know, I just feel like, and maybe, you know, only being 40, maybe it's what I've seen from rugby league. I think they talk about their heritage and the history of the game, and I think it's a great part of rugby league.
Well, growing up, Pop, I remember, I mean, I was a huge cricket fan, and I still am, and I just remember reading a lot of cricket books when I was younger and getting a real sense of the history of and some of the greats. And I mean, like the awe, I mean growing up, the awe that I held the likes of, you know, Lilly, Chappell, Marsh and those sort of guys, you're just like, they were superstars, absolute superstars, and you got that feeling, and I feel like cricket does it well, and I think the league is getting better at acknowledging its greats and its history, and you know, at times like this, you look at the way that the game responds to the passing of a legendary player. It is really impressive.
Yeah, and it's sad, but it's also a time where we should be celebrating a wonderful player, but also a wonderful man. And anyone that had the pleasure of meeting John Sattler would tell you how nice a gentleman he was. You know, what you heard about him, and then when you met him, just didn't match up. Like on the field, you know. What would you say, 15 times he was sent off?
I think that's what Gus said.
Yeah, 15 times, you know. You'd think he was a bit of a rat. And, you know, but he was just tough. And I heard all the stories about John Sattler, but then when you met the man, you couldn't get a nicer person. You know, he'd take an interest in your life, your family, ask you a few questions, and just very quiet, unassuming type of guy. And the other thing about John Sattler, and, you know, where, you know, people will never forget about the legacy he's left on the game, is that iconic photo of him, you know, with the broken jaw, the blood coming out of his mouth, a bit like Arthur Summers, mate, and Norm Provan. They're the things that I remember. There's certain images, and that'll be one. That'll be one.
Yeah, I agree. While we're talking about the South Club, I was down there yesterday, and they've got a real issue, Loz, with their middle forwards. There are a lot of them who aren't available. I had a tip-off yesterday that Jai Arrow, who's been coming back from a hamstring, has retweaked it. And that's, you know, they're running very low in the centre of the field. I think Totola's out for 4 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks as well. And obviously we haven't seen Liam Knight. And, you know, they've got some other, I think Shaq Mitchell, there was some concern about a potential Liz Franks and whether that would need surgery or not. So, I mean, it's coming at the, obviously at the early in the season, it's out pretty hard with their middle forwards out. And, you know, for their superstar backline to have an impact in games now and going forward in the season, they're going to need those forwards back on the field. And, you know, we saw how good they were against, I think it was the Sharks in round one, and the dominance that Lachlan Ilias was able to put on the game. But with these forwards, you know, not being available, I think it makes it tough for them in the next few weeks.
Well, they got a tough draw too, Denny. That's the other thing in South Sydney. The opening sort of 10 weeks of the comp, it was always going to be tough for them, so they can ill afford to be missing players.
Particularly forwards at the moment.
Speaking of injuries, Danny, what's the latest with Kalyn Ponga?
Look, it's really hard, Pup, to get information out of Newcastle on this because they're guarding it pretty closely. And I will explain this by saying that it's obviously early days, and there is obviously a reluctance to speak to people like me about what's going on with him. The early signs are, I've been told, is that the neurologists are not sort of saying it's going to be months out of the game. It's not something that's really bad. And again, the club's being very guarded about this sort of information. But from what I can gather, there's some optimism that it could be weeks, not months. And apparently, like, I think the day after he was at training and running around and, you know, not going full tilt, but he was not showing huge effects of the last knockout that he had. So, again, Papa, I don't want to give you false information, but it's hard to get a lot of accurate stuff out of the Knights at the moment. That's the latest I've got.
Okay. Is there some good news surrounding Angus Crichton, Denny? Because we were sort of led to believe that he may not play this year, but there seems to be some encouraging news about his return.
Yeah, well, it was, again, a sensitive one, which firstly, we've got to respect Angus and obviously everything he's going through and his mental health issues. But the word out of the Roosters is that 4 to 6 weeks is when he could come back. He's been doing his testing, his oxygen test, like his aerobic testing, his weights as well. So he's keeping his strength up. He's keeping his aerobic fitness up as well. So, and I think that there's a chance he'll start training with the side as early as next week. He's got to obviously get his conditioning and his body used to everything again, all the while balancing everything else that's going on in his life with his mental health. And, you know, at the moment, things are looking more positive. But I think the priority with Angus, obviously, is to make sure he's okay before he worries too much about football. But that's, you know, I think that the Roosters are keen to get him back, and I think Angus is keen to come back.
While we're talking Roosters, how did they sign so many players, Steady?
This is an endless topic, right? I mean, we've been talking about the Roosters and their cap for years, and I'm not saying this is the be all and end all in terms of a solution to the great Rooster mystery, but what I've sort of been told recently is that they don't have Nick Politis, their chairman, and let's face it, the guy who runs the show there, is not a fan of the ratchet clauses, where the clauses in the contract are there. When a salary cap, for instance, goes up, the players have a percentage increase that aligns with the salary cap. So you don't see those clauses are very rare in Roosters players' contracts. Other clubs will have them throughout their entire playing roster, so that when there is an increase in the cap for some situation, like we're going through at the moment, that's all gobbled up by those clauses. The Roosters, no. I think Joey Manu's got one, and he's actually probably underpaid for his extreme talent. So the Roosters will have, you know, maybe him, and I don't know if there's any others who have the clause, that sort of clause. So
they'd get you in trouble, wouldn't they, those ratchet clauses, Denny? Wouldn't they? Because I can remember years ago when they had match payments and incentives for if you played, you know, 20 first grade games, or if you played one State of Origin game. If you got a run of players that achieved that,
put you over the cap.
Yeah.
That's where the Roosters have been smart. There's a couple of clubs at the moment. I put this to Gus, and he said at Canterbury, since he's been there, the ratchets are out. He doesn't do them. So, and I think that may become a trend throughout clubs as they, you know, start to stand up to this sort of situation and prefer to be able to, I guess, have a better control over their cap going forward. So that's, I'm not saying that's how, you know, the sombrero works or why they're able to keep all those players or sign a Nathan Brown out of nowhere and whoever else. But that's one of the tactics they use.
I was listening to 100% Footy early this morning from last night, and Phil Gould gave a bit of an update on Tevita Pangai.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is Tevita is a again, we're talking about South missing forwards. Well, the Bulldogs are missing a lot of middle forwards as well. And Tavita is considered a, you know, an absolute key at that club. And I had a bit of information yesterday that round eight would be the earliest we'd see him. And that, this is for a calf injury, which is, you know, it's kept him out for such a long time. And I put it to Gus, and he wouldn't put a date on when Tavita would be back. But he said that they're treating the injury in a way that they don't want it to come back again. There's all sorts of ways they can hopefully guard against a repeat injury, because that's what they're concerned about. So they're taking their time with Tavita. Remember, he dropped a lot of weight boxing, and he was looking like it was going to be a very big season for him. And you look at the extremely solid start the Bulldogs have made to this year, and you'd have to think they're only going to get better when they get a player, an impact player like Tavita back in to add some, because they've got a pretty, I think, inexperienced pack, and not a huge pack, apart from, I guess, a big Villy. And I think that once he returns, you know, it's going to make the Bulldogs even more attractive as a side. And so far, I think they're doing better than a lot of people would have even thought.
Danny, do you agree with Loz the Tigers can beat Melbourne this weekend?
Caveat. No, Munster.
No, I left that bit out.
Yeah. No Munster, look, no use.
I left that bit out. Go to the Tigers.
Poor old
Go
Tigers.
Go to the Tigers. Come on. How do we turn it around? Can we turn it around?
Mate, you're the bloke who should be on the board.
I agree, Denny.
I don't.
You on the board? We're in a boardroom. Listen, well, Denny, we're in a boardroom at the moment,
can you
so he's actually practicing.
Radio every day if I was on the board of the Tigers.
I'd love it.
I was going to say I'd get abused more than I do, but that's going to be hard.
I'd be calling in every day.
mate.
Asking for what's going on. Now, look.
You might turn it around and get all the credit.
That doesn't happen.
Pop, they played well for 4 minutes last week.
Yeah. I know. Well, what do they do with their halves? Do they make the call now that you can't have these two at 7 and 6?
I don't think it's working, is it?
No, obviously not. No.
I mean, and look, they're talking about Wakeham, you know, coming in, and he's a steady player. I think from memory, he got the Bulldogs to, is it the second grade grand final? I could be wrong on that, but I think that's what happened last year. So he's a steady sort of player. It might be what Brooks needs, but we've been talking about this for years. I guess the Storm are vulnerable, aren't they, Loz? I don't remember seeing them look worse for a long time.
Well, they've conceded like nearly 80 points this season. They got
now that's incredible.
They're ranked number 15 in terms of where the teams are for conceding most points.
Yeah,
I've never seen
incredible.
That with the Melbourne Storm.
Well, we're struggling to score points. This is going to
your defence is better than the Storm.
Our defence is, but we're finding it hard to score points.
Yeah, but
that's our problem.
I thought Bateman was okay. You know, I think there's a
for
lot
his
of
first game. Yeah, I think it's
yeah, a couple yeah, of E coming back into the team.
Yeah,
mate. I think that he showed a lot of. I know it's not the trendy thing in rugby league to praise John Bateman. It's more to kick him. But I think that he showed a bit, you know, and his body language was good. His determination was good. And I liked his tan as well. It reminded me of me.
So. He stood out with that tan.
Casper.
Oh, mate.
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I loved it.
Well, Loz and I better get back to our green juices, Denny, but appreciate your time as always.
Papa give you the diet tips. He's all over that stuff.
Yeah, I said leave him alone. Too much sugar.
Straight for the bacon egg rolls.
Definitely. Barbecue sauce. See you, buddy. Have a good day.
See ya. Bye.